This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It was a good day. It might still be a great day. We're not sure. Things in radio are flexible at times. You don't always know what's going to happen. People tell you things. They might happen, they might not, but that's okay. That's how we work.
Always makes it fun for the producer of the
yes.
show.
Yes. So. Our producer, Chris Bolick, running the show today here on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter, and it's going to be another boiler in Kansas City today. Chris, when you walked outside this morning, what was it, about 5 o'clock, 4:30 when you walked outside this morning?
5:25, 5:30, I was heading to the station.
What did it feel like?
It was heavy. That's all I can say. The air was heavy. It was thick, humid. I hate that feeling. I'd rather just be dry heat and have
Arizona.
Thinner air than having to deal with a muggy swamp.
When I walked outside this morning, I took my dog out about 5:30, 6 o'clock. It felt like somebody threw a wet towel over my shoulders. That's how humid it was this morning.
Weighs you down.
You have the perfect word, heavy. Gary Lezak, I know you just posted a picture of your dog getting in the sprinkler this morning. Use the word heavy. Put that in the forecast. Hot, humid, heavy. Gary Lezak, Jeff Penner, Gerard Bailey, everybody over at Channel 41. Lindsay, don't want to leave anybody out. Got the whole weather team over there. It feels heavy in Kansas City today. Oh, my gosh. Well, let's set up the show for you. This is why I talked about you never know what's going to happen on radio. So last night, got a text message that we might get Ice Cube in studio. Yes, the Ice Cube, which would be fitting on a day like today to have somebody named Ice Cube in studio to cool us down. He is the founder of the Big Three Basketball League, which is here in Kansas City today down at Sprint Center. It starts at 2 o'clock. But his flight got changed. So instead of coming in last night, he's coming in this morning. So he may not be in studio. I'm not counting on it right now. I know how these celebrity things work. That's fine. He may call in. That may happen. But I got to tell you, Chris, and I'm going to set up the show here in a second. When I heard that Ice Cube might be in the studio today, I was so stoked. I mean, you can ask my kids. I was jumping up and down. I was like, this would be one of the all-time highlights of my career to interview Ice Cube and to actually meet Ice Cube.
All time.
I mean, it's got to be, I wouldn't even say the term top 10. It's got to be top 5, top 3, maybe number 1 if he was here in studio. Ice Cube, if you're listening. I'm sure he's got his, you know, private car dialed into Sports Radio 810 WHB. You never know. There are celebrities who are big sports fans, and occasionally they'll tune into local sports talk radio. So I'm not going to promise you that we'll have Ice Cube today. I'm just telling you we're working on it. It is what it is. And even if that doesn't happen, get down to Sprint Center this afternoon, take in the Big Three. They start at 2 o'clock, and there's like 3 or 4 games. I've got the schedule here. And there's a lot of local guys on the list. Drew Gooden's going to be here playing in the Big Three at Sprint Center. Mario Chalmers, who made one of the biggest shots in Kansas basketball history, is going to be here playing at Sprint Center this afternoon. Julian Wright going to be here playing at Sprint Center this afternoon. Have you seen the list of some of the players who are going to be here, Chris?
Honestly, no.
Okay. Well, I've got the list. So some of the guys who are going to be here, and women too, because they're the coaches, they have some women's coaches in this Big Three at Sprint Center. Josh Smith, Will Bynum, Coach Reggie Theus, former Kansas City King. I used to go to Kings games when I was a kid down at Kemper Arena. Yes. I'm that old. where I saw Kings games. Julian Wright, Corey Maggette, Katino Mobley, Big Baby Glenn Davis, Quentin Richardson, Joe Johnson, Al Jefferson, some of the coaches, Nancy Lieberman, Lisa Leslie. Oh, I'd love to meet Lisa Leslie. What a terrific player. So is Nancy Lieberman is a great player, too. Mario Chalmers, Rashard Lewis, Reggie Evans, Mahmoud Abdul Raul. Gary Payton's going to be a coach. Amari Stoudemire's going to play. Nate Robinson's going to play. Jason Richardson's going to play. And maybe the biggest name coach coming into Kansas City today, one Dr. J. Unbelievable.
Get it.
Unbelievable. So the big three, we're hoping to get Ice Cube. Curtis Seabolt woke up early to come in here. Rudy Salazar's in here early. Yeah, Curtis. No, yeah. He's here with his camera. Curtis Seabolt was here. He got up early. He was hoping we'd have Ice Cube, but we don't know. We just don't know. Like I said, that's the way radio works. Sometimes you think something's going to happen and then it doesn't, and then maybe it does. I don't know. So we'll wait. We hope that if Ice Cube does not show up at the studio, he calls in. Either way, I'm stoked. I'm jazzed. And I was telling Curtis this story a little bit earlier. So usually on weekends or I have something fun that's going on, I got my black t-shirt. Got my all-black t-shirt. It's just, I don't know why, that just became my thing a few years ago for whatever reason. My wife says, is your black t-shirt clean? She says, if you're gonna meet Ice Cube, or if you're going to talk to Ice Cube, got to have the black t-shirt. Is Rudy Salazar here early for a particular reason? Has he got a remote? Or is he here, too, for Ice Cube?
Well, he was supposed to come in to take video of this, and I guess he was not informed that the plans had changed. So.
Well, we don't know. We don't know. Tell him not to go anywhere. We don't know.
I don't want to keep him waiting.
Yeah, I know. Like, I know. He's got stuff to do. He works 97 hours a week.
So we'll see.
I know. Nate Buchady was going to come in, and the whole place was jacked yesterday. But we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. So let me set up the rest of the show here. Depending on what happens with Mr. Ice Cube, I don't know. How do you address Ice Cube? If you're not close friends with him, do you say, hello, Ice Cube? Do you say, hello, Mr. Cube? Do you say...
You should just ask him that. If he's on, then you should just ask him how to address him.
Okay, so years ago, when I was working at a different radio station, members of the British royal family were coming into town, and they gave us a list of protocols. This is how you address members of the royal family. First of all, you do not address them unless they address you first. You don't even look at them. You're not supposed to look in their eyes unless they look at you first, which I don't know how you would know if they were looking at you first, if you weren't looking at them. And then if they have gloves on, it was okay to shake their hand. If they didn't, you weren't supposed to touch them. All these rules. So I consider Ice Cube American royalty. I think there's got to be a list of protocols. How do you interact with Ice Cube? Hello, Mr. Cube. Hello, Mr. Ice Cube. I don't know. I don't know. But if he shows up or if he calls in, I think Chris has a good rule. Just ask him. So, we may or may not have Ice Cube here. I'm really hoping this is going to happen. So, other than that, we're going to try to get on Craig Brown from Baseball Perspectives to talk a little Royals. Trade deadline coming up here in, less than 2 weeks, July 31st. And this year, it's a hard deadline. There's no sneaking guys through waivers like they used to do before. We didn't trade so-and-so, but... we'll put them on waivers, and if another team, agrees to the deal that we had set up before the deadline, we'll make it happen. So Craig Brown, Baseball Perspectives, talking Royals. He's got a little bit about Brett Phillips, too. A lot of talk. Should Brett Phillips come up to the Royals? He made this drastic change in his approach to batting a few weeks ago, and he's putting up monster numbers in Omaha. So we'll try to talk to Craig Brown. At 10 o'clock, we'll talk with Brian Shiretta from American Soccer Now, Chris Bohlig. A little peek behind the curtains. Sometimes we have to tape things day before to fit into people's schedule. So Brian Shiretta will be talking with Chris Bohlig at 10 o'clock about Sporting KC. about Major League Soccer. What else, Chris? Do we have
some U.S. He does a lot of stuff with the U.S. men's national team, so I kind of want to get his reaction after Gold Cup, see where they're at, you know, in terms of 2022 qualifying.
Big friendly against Mexico coming up in September, which, of course, I have a divided household. My kids are 50% Mexican, but when it's USA versus Mexico, it's red, white, and blue. But they got jerseys for both. So Brian Ciaretta at 10 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, Matt Verderam will join us from fansided.com, talk Chiefs football. Training camps next week. Are you kidding me? Yeah, it's getting started. Stephen St. John is going to be up there. Stephen St. John from the Border Patrol basically lives in St. Joe during Chiefs training camp. Of course, he went to school at Mo West for a little bit before graduating from UMKC. I will be up there the next two weekends. So the next two weekends, we will be on location in St. Joe broadcasting within 10 feet of the practice fields. So that's going to be fun. We'll talk to all kinds of fun people. Last year, we got to Larry Johnson showed up, former Chiefs running back, just showed up. And I get along with Larry. I text him on occasion. We talk about different things, football, families, kids. So you never know who's going to show up at Chiefs training camp. So I have Matt Verderam at 11 o'clock. So in the time we have here, and somebody just texted me, so I'm going to check this, Chris. It might be Chad Boger telling me something about Ice Cube. I'm just going to check here real quick. No, it's from Jed Marshall. We were talking about how to address Ice Cube because he's American royalty, right? Is it Ice Cube? Hello, Ice Cube. Is it Mr. Cube? I don't know. Jed Marshall suggests, "What up, Cube? Can I pull that? Can I pull that off? Can I pull off? Say, what up, Cube?
I don't know. I don't know.
Like,
maybe
this is a crazy morning.
I don't know.
This is a crazy morning because we just don't know." So I appreciate it, Jed. I appreciate the fact that he listens to the show. And Seren Petro usually does, too. He's driving around on the weekends or getting stuff ready and preparing his show for next week or shuttling his kids all over the place. So let's start with this. I've got the big news yesterday, and it's still big news today. Tyreek Hill is not being suspended by the National Football League. Repeat, not being suspended by the National Football League. He is cleared to participate in training camp starting next week, and he will not miss any games. So I got a call yesterday from Neil Jones over at Channel 5. Hey, can you come over and do the locker room show? That's 7 o'clock at night show. It's a big story. We need a big gun. Apparently I qualify for that on occasion. Three times I've been on the locker room show were 3 days when there was big Tyreek Hill news. So let me just read the statement here from the National Football League. Quote, in concluding our investigation, we have taken great care to ensure that we do not interfere with the county's proceedings or compromise the private welfare of the child in any way. The information developed in the court proceeding is confidential and has not been shared with us. And the court has sealed all law enforcement records. Local law enforcement authorities have publicly advised that the available evidence does not permit them to determine who caused the child's injuries. We're talking about the child of Tyreek Hill and Crystal Espinal, who suffered a broken arm. Continuing with the NFL statement, similarly, based on the evidence presently available, the NFL cannot conclude that Mr. Hill, i.e. Tyreek Hill, violated the personal conduct policy. Accordingly, he may attend Kansas City's training camp and participate in all club activities. He has been and will continue to be subject to conditions set forth by the district court, Commissioner Roger Goodell, and the Chiefs, which include clinical evaluation and therapeutic intervention. The NFL statement goes on to say, if further information becomes available through law enforcement, the pending court proceeding, or other sources, we will promptly consider it and take all appropriate steps at that time. That's the statement from the National Football League. Tyreek Hill issued his own statement. It was posted on Twitter and I believe Instagram. So this is from Tyreek Hill. Quote, "The last few months have been very difficult for me, especially as a father. The false allegations originally reported in March were highly publicized and involved the care of my son. I am grateful for so many things and grateful for so many people who have supported me during this challenging time. I fully respect and accept the NFL's decision." Again, this is Tyreek Hill, his personal statement. Continuing, quote, "To the fans, friends, and family that I've made in Kansas City, I love you and thank you for your continued support. To the NFLPA, that's the Players Association, Mr. Ned Ehrlich, thank you for your dedication, understanding, and guidance through this process. To the NFL, Commissioner Roger Goodell, and everyone who assisted in this investigation, thank you for your time and conducting a thorough investigation. I will not let you down." More from Tyreek Hill. "To the Kansas City Chiefs, Clark Hunt, Brett Veach, Coach Reed, the entire organization, and the Chiefs Kingdom, you gave me a home when everyone doubted me. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I love you all. And I can assure you that I will continue to work to be the person, player, and teammate that you envisioned me to be. Continuing on, to my children, my beautiful children, I love you all dearly, and I promise you all that I will continue to strive to be the best father, the best friend, the best role model, the best mentor I can be." So those are the statements from the National Football League and from Tyreek Hill. The Chiefs also issued a statement, but you get the gist of all this. So here's the bottom line. Tyreek Hill is cleared to play. He'll be at training camp next week, and he will not miss any games. But the NFL has left open the possibility that if further information becomes available and the information requires action, they will take action at that time. So how to digest all this information? I put a lot of thought into this over the last, 8 weeks, 10 weeks? It was late. It was right before the draft when Channel 5 issued the short conversation that was recorded by Tyreek Hill's, at that time, fiance, Crystal Espinal. And at that time, it looked very bad. It still does look very bad. Eventually, we got the 11 to 11 and a half minutes of conversation. And there were a lot of things to take away and a lot of time to digest all of that information. And I thought Joshua Briscoe last night on Almost Entirely Sports had some great thoughts on this. Sometimes you react to the initial information. Sometimes you wait for further information. Here's the bottom line for me. And Chris, I'll let you weigh on in this as well. Here's the bottom line for me. I still don't think, in fact, I know, we still don't have all the information. Okay? There's perhaps two people that know what happened. Maybe three. There's Tyreek Hill. There's Crystal Espinal. We don't know if they were together when this incident with the child happened, with the broken arm. We don't know. We just don't know. Because Crystal Espinal has not, she did not talk to the National Football League. She has not given her side of the story to the NFL. We don't know what's in the court proceedings with the Child and Family Court in Kansas. We don't know. I was not there. Chris Bohlig was not there. Roger Goodell was not there. Clark Hunt was not there. Brett Veach was not there. Only that we know of, two or three people know what happened. So if you want a judgment rendered by the media, by sports talk radio, by the Kansas City Star, by TV stations, by radio stations, I don't know where you're going to find that definitive answer. I don't have it. I don't have a definitive answer for you. I don't know what happened. I can tell you this. Listening to that tape, and Tyreek Hill did not know he was being recorded, by all accounts, did not know he was being recorded on that cell phone. What I heard on that tape was disturbing. If you tell somebody, if you tell your partner, you should be afraid of me, B-word, not going to use it here, it's Saturday morning. You can probably say it on the radio, I'm not going to. You should fear me, you should, you know, live in fear. That's bad. And when you listen to the whole 11 to 11 and a half minutes, look, it's not something I would ever say. I don't think Chris Bohlig would ever say something like that. Whether it came out of frustration, I don't know. I'm sure there was frustration behind it. I don't like that look. I don't like those words. I thought the NFL might come down with a one or two game suspension just based on that. That, to me, that sounds verbally threatening. But again, when you listen to the whole thing, a number of times Tyreek Hill said, "You know I didn't do this." And Crystal Espinal never refutes it on the recording. Now, that was 11 and a half minutes. Who knows how long this conversation was going on? Who knows how long or short this conversation was? Who knows if there's more tape? I don't know. You don't know. Chris, you don't know either. None of us know. It's not a good look for Tyreek Hill. It's not a good look for the Kansas City Chiefs. Like I said, I thought the NFL would come down with a one or two game suspension, if not more. The NFL is all over the map on these things, how they interpret things. That the fact that there's no suspension, am I surprised? Yeah. Yeah, I am. Do I think it's the right move? I don't know, because I don't know what they know. Tyreek Hill met with the NFL for 8.5 hours. 8.5 hours. None of us know what they talked about. None of us know what the questions were. None of us know what the answers were. But to this point, the National Football League deems it right, or deems it the proper, I shouldn't say right, deems it the proper decision at this time to not issue a suspension. But they have left the door open that if further information becomes available and they feel the need to take action, they will. So I'm going to, before Chris, I'm going to throw it to you here. So here's the bottom line for me. None of us know what happened in that house. We know a child's arm was broken. We don't know how. We don't know if it was a fall. We don't know if it was a person involved. Maybe it was somebody outside of Tyreek Hill and Crystal Espinal. We don't know. We don't know what was said in the 8.5 hours of conversation with the National Football League with Tyreek Hill. We don't know everything that's in the court records. We don't know. So for right now, we'll take this for what it is. There is no suspension. Tyreek Hill will be at training camp, and he'll be playing in the games. Chris, your thoughts?
I agree with you in terms of no one actually has physical evidence knowing what actually happened or has transpired throughout that household, because yep, they're the only ones, of course, in the house. There's no video, like, you know, what happened with a Ray Rice or a Kareem Hunt, which essentially got them, Ray Rice, never playing in the NFL again, and Kareem Hunt, who has an 8-game suspension. I think it also says something about the NFL, their inconsistency and what the personal conduct, you know, penalties are for the league, because it's conduct detrimental to the league. So how is him threatening his former fiance on tape not detrimental to the image of the league or what they are trying to portray from their players? I also think it's interesting that Crystal Espinal didn't talk to the NFL. They reached out and she said through her lawyer that she was not going to talk. So if she had a story to break, or she was, you know, with the recording and everything, why wouldn't she try to tell her side to the NFL?
Right.
That's my question too. That's something we may never know. Of course, Tyreek Hill was in for a big contract before all of this came out. There was talks about, you know, him and Chris Jones were the two that were going to. So is there money, you know, things involved with this, which a lot of people think that there is. But overall, there was a child taken away from this home. Let's not forget about that.
Yep.
The Child Protective Services, there was an admittance through the lawyer that there's corporal punishment. And so that doesn't change the fact about anything of how you may feel towards Tyreek Hill,
right,
or how he, you know, parents his children or whatnot. I thought that he was probably going to, I was pretty shocked that he didn't get a 2 or 4-game suspension. I think it just looks really bad on the league. Of course, for the Kansas City Chiefs, they're getting, I'm sure they're, you know, relieved that this is finally over and they can get to football. But
And it may not be over yet.
It's just a bad situation. And I think the program talked about it well yesterday. And Jed Marshall had a good, like, perception is reality. You know, they're from what happened with Tyreek Hill in 2014 with the same woman. Even though it didn't go to a full trial and he wasn't convicted, he pled guilty. That's still the perception.
And then he denies it on tape.
Yeah,
on
so.
This, so here's the thing. And I think, this was a couple of weeks ago now on the Border Patrol, was Stephen St. John, Nate Buchanan, and Jake Gutierrez. I think Stephen nailed it. We're not here to tell you what to think. You can listen to the tapes. You can read the statements from the National Football League, from Tyreek Hill and the Kansas City Chiefs. You come to your own conclusion. A lot of smart people listen to this show. You can draw your... I don't know if you should draw a final conclusion, but you can have your thoughts, your feelings. I'm not going to tell you how to feel about it. This is a serious, deep, heavy topic. And one of the things that really bothered me about the tape, not the tape itself, what was said on the tape, the 11 and a half minutes, one of the things that really bothered me was the blame game between the two. And I'm not saying who was right and who was wrong. Like I said, none of us were there. One of the things that bothered me was the lack of compassion shown for the child. When Tyreek Hill and Crystal Espinal are arguing back and forth, and again, who knows how long they might have been talking or arguing before this tape started? Who knows how long they may have continued this argument after the tape stopped? I don't know. But in the 11 and a half minutes that we heard, I didn't hear a lot of compassion for the child. It was a blame game. And I don't know who's right, and I don't know who's wrong, and I'm not going to tell you. Because I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know. If I was empathic and I could read their minds, I could tell you. But I don't know. But I can tell you, all I can tell you is what I know right now. The National Football League has not suspended Tyreek Hill. He'll be at training camp, and he'll play in every game unless further evidence comes to light in which the NFL may have to take action. We don't know. So listen to the tapes, read the statements, and you can feel how you want to feel. And on that note, happy Saturday to you, by the way. We'll take a...
And we'll talk more with Matt. We'll talk more about this throughout there, because this is a major deal, like in NFL news and how they deal with punishment of players. And it's just like, I think I was talking about it with my brother yesterday. It's just like with how they deal with it. It doesn't matter if there's legal trouble or whatnot, because with Ezekiel Elliott, he got six games and he didn't get, he didn't get a conviction.
Right.
If you embarrass a company or make your company look bad, the NFL is a company. It's a billion-dollar corporation. It's not. It's just like if you embarrass your company at work and they thought it was justifiable to, suspend you or punish you in any way, it's the same thing.
People get fired every day for things they tweet, things they write on Facebook, things they put on Instagram. It happens. So on that note, we will take a timeout again. I'm not going to promise you Ice Cube's going to be on the show. I'm just saying we're working on it. We're working on it. So we're going to talk Craig Brown, Baseball Prospectus. We'll talk Royals, trade deadline, off to a hot start to the second half, even though last night was not good. We'll talk with Brian Sciarretta. We'll talk Sporting KC. We'll talk U.S. National Team. We'll talk MLS. And we'll talk Chiefs with Matt Verderam at 11 o'clock. So plenty more still to come. You are listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. And you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Stop.
Kind of easing our way into this steamy Saturday morning in Kansas City and across the Midwest. You are listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB, cranking out 50,000 watts. You can also listen worldwide on the app at 810WHB.com. Yeah, I think Chris Bohlig put it perfectly in the open when I asked him what it felt like walking outside this morning. He said, heavy. It felt heavy. To me, I walked outside at 5:30, 6 o'clock this morning. It felt like somebody threw a hot, wet towel over my shoulders. So stay cool. Keep inside. Stay in your car. Listen to us. We are still efforting to see if Mr. Ice Cube might be on the show. We don't know. Big Three in Kansas City today, downtown at Sprint Center at 2 o'clock. A bunch of former KU players and NBA stars will be playing. Right now, we're going to talk a little Royals baseball with Craig Brown from Baseball Prospectus. Craig, how are you on this boiler of a day in Kansas City?
It is heavy.
And, yes.
I appreciate the opportunity here to pinch hit for Ice Cube.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes, Alex Rodriguez can't come to the plate every time, you know? it's the way, and Craig, look, I appreciate it because I know Chris has been texting you, you know, last night and this morning that this may happen. I appreciate you being flexible with us and just being a super cool dude for doing that.
No problem. Glad to be on with you today.
All right, let's talk, and heavy is the right word. I told Chris, you know, Gary Lezak should use that word in his forecast. Today feels heavy. So the Royals are on the road. They're in Cleveland. They're not dealing with this right now. They dealt with it earlier this week. So we're in the second half. And Craig, when I read your stuff on Royals Review and other places, I appreciate the way you word things. And so you were talking about the sweep over the White Sox. Won four games in a row, first time in 2019. And you write, I mean, that's kind of insane, isn't it, that it took almost 100 games before the Royals won four consecutive? Even the worst teams can stumble into limited periods of success. My God, the Orioles won four in a row in April. The Orioles! I love the way you wrote that. But you know what? I said last weekend that this second half could be fun. And that was based on a small sample size of winning a couple of games over the awful Detroit Tigers. But, you know, four in a row over the White Sox, too? I mean, I'm having fun right now watching the Royals.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that they've always been a fun team. Yeah, I mean, pretty much for most of the season, even though they haven't had the success, even though they're on pace for like 100-plus losses. But, you know, yeah, it just I appreciate, you know, the kind words about the writing. You know, and the winning streak thing is something that I kind of started paying attention to last year because – they didn't win four games in a row, the Royals, until September last year. And then they did it twice in that month.
Right.
And, yeah, you know, I mean, like classic late season run. So it kind of feels like they're setting us up again for that. It does seem really difficult for a team not to have a sustained period of, you know, success, just running into a team that's struggling like the White Sox are. You know, I mean, it's kind of – the baseball perfect storm, right? You know, I mean, the Royals are getting hot. The White Sox are cold. They meet at the right time. They have a four-game series at home. And, you know, bam, roll off four wins in a row. Then you go out on the road, of course, and kind of like what we saw last night, it all kind of goes away, disappears pretty quickly. But, you know, the team, if they can just – the thing that happened, I think, in that four-game winning streak was that they got, you know, fantastic – outstanding starting pitching.
Yep.
And that's really been the key to the whole season. I mean, that's the reason why they are where they are, not just the starting pitching. Of course, the bullpen has been, you know, pretty bad too, but you know, they just haven't had that consistency, you know, from the arms. And so, you know, I mean, if they can turn in, you know, if they can find some of that consistency, you know, the second half could be fun.
Yeah. And I was looking at, you also noted what their schedule looks like coming up. So they'll have a stretch in September where they play Baltimore, which is awful, pardon me. They'll play the Tigers, they'll play the Marlins, and they'll play the White Sox again. That's four straight series. And then after that, you get what you might call a gauntlet. You get Houston, you get Oakland, you get Minnesota, Atlanta, and Minnesota again, and those are probably all going to be playoff teams. So as well as the Royals have been playing this past week and a half, the end of the season is going to be a challenge.
Yeah, last year, you know, they finished up against mostly the Central. And, of course, the Central just hasn't been a very strong division over the last couple of years. And, yeah, this year they don't have that luxury. They finish with the White Sox in mid-September. And, like you said, then they go on that gauntlet of teams that are either going to be in the playoffs. You know, they could clinch early or they'll be fighting for that spot in the playoffs. And of course, everybody will be jockeying for position, you know, wanting to host games and, you know, get the home field advantage and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, I mean, that's the one thing that kind of works in against them having that strong, you know, kick to end the season is they're going to be playing some really, really tough teams with a lot at stake. So, you know, you figure that they're going to get the A games from these playoff contenders.
We're speaking with Craig Brown, Baseball Prospectus and Royals Review, talking about this hot start to the second half of the Royals, even though last night in Cleveland was not great. Let's kind of pick it up there, Craig. The trade for Mike Montgomery, sending Martin Maldonado to the Cubs, I was fine with it. Look, Mike Montgomery has 2.5 years left on his contract. If they get something out of him, great. If they get to next year and it's still looking pretty bad, they can still flip him to another club, and that club would know that they would have another year and a half of control. So I think that's fine. But last night, let's call it what it is. This is an experiment, because Mike Montgomery was a former starter. Then he was a bullpen guy. He closed out the World Series for the Cubs, but he wants to be a starter. He made it clear to the Cubs weeks ago, trade me, because I want to be a starter. So this is an experiment for the Royals in the second half. And going into last night, Ned Yost said, look, he's going to throw 45 to 50 pitches. He threw 45, and they were not good. 2 innings, 6 hits, 5 earned runs, no walks, and only a strikeout, a home run. It wasn't great. But if you're going to experiment with something, if you're going to find out what you got, this is the time you do it if you're the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's kind of what the second half of the season is all about. It's what the entire season's really been all about. It's finding the guys that can play, that can be identified as contributors, you know, when the team is ready to contend again. You know, we've got Bubba Starling up. We've got Nicky Lopez up. Arteaga is a guy, of course, he's up now because Mondesi's hurt again. But, you know, he's a guy that, you know, we'll see, maybe he can be that utility guy. And for Montgomery, you know, you're right. It was a grind. It was a struggle. He hadn't pitched though since June or July 2nd. And he has worked exclusively out of the bullpen. I was kind of going back, looking at pitch counts. He had thrown 60 pitches in a start, in an appearance, in late June. He'd thrown 71 earlier this season. But you know, mostly his pitch count was generally topping out like around 40. So he kind of extended past that. They said, you know, he had a little fatigue. The curveball wasn't as sharp as they would have liked last night. But you know, I mean, it's difficult to judge him off of just this first appearance. You know, we really kind of, and again, like you said, it's that luxury of the second half, you know, seeing who can slide into that rotation and giving him that opportunity. So we have, you know, basically 2.5 months of starts that the Royals can look at. And that's kind of the bonus of acquiring a guy like Montgomery. If like you said, if it works out and the Royals are still, you know, scuffling and, you know, trying to, you know, dig themselves out of this hole and get back into contention at this time next year, Montgomery could be a very attractive piece to you know, swing in a trade, and could probably bring back more than like a Maldonado would have if you'd been shopping him for a prospect.
Right.
So I think it's kind of a savvy move on the part of Dayton Moore. And, you know, they needed the inning since they traded Homer Bailey. And, you know, I mean, to me, it was when they brought him in, I was kind of like, well, that's kind of confusing. You know, why are we bringing in this guy? But, you know, after a little bit, I was like, okay, I can get behind this. This makes sense, you know, kind of big picture looking forward. So, you know, I mean, it was rough last night, but, you know, I think, you know, he'll have every opportunity to get the ball every fifth day down the stretch. And, you know, that's what he wants. That's what the Royals want. So I think it's a good opportunity for everybody.
You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. Our guest is Craig Brown, covers the Royals for Baseball Prospectus and Royals Review. And I guess, you know, we're what, a week and a half, 2 weeks from the trade deadline, which is a hard deadline this year. There's no more playing the shell game of, well, we're putting a guy on waivers, and if the other team, you know, that we want to trade with puts their guy on waivers, we work it out. So this is a hard deadline this year. And the two names, two or three names coming up still are Jake Diekman out of the bullpen. He's been, I'm trying to think of a term, roller coaster-ish this year. He's good at times. He's been bad at times, but who hasn't in the Royals bullpen? Billy Hamilton, Lucas Duda. I don't know what you get back for those players, but could you see one, two, or all three being moved and the Royals getting at least a little something more than, you know, a bag of balls?
Yeah, you know, I think that all three need to be moved. But, yeah, I think that the expectations on any kind of return has to be, you know, set pretty low. These guys are all – I mean, due to last year, we went through this. He was sent to Atlanta for cash considerations. I mean, that's all that the Royals are going to get here again, not to try to rehash that signing, but that's just
– I don't – look, Craig, when they made the signing, I was like, we – you know, the Royals have three other first basemen – or DHs or whatever, who are young players who may not succeed, but I mean, Lucas Duda taking up at bats, come on.
Yeah, no, it never made sense. And I mean, again, especially because you knew last year, based on experience, what you could get for him on the market, right? So Diekman, you know, could probably get you back, you know, like a C-level prospect, you know, I mean, and you know, maybe along the lines of what you got for Homer Bailey. Hamilton, I think, he's not like a guy that, you know, a contender would want to slot into their lineup on an everyday basis. I mean, he's good for a defensive replacement, pinch running. If you're in a pinch, want to give a regular day off, you know, or something, but he's not going to, you know, bring you back any kind of great return. He's still owed, you know, I think probably around $2 million on his contract, and there's a buyout that's in there for next year too. He's due a little bit of cash, for the remainder of the season. The Royals, you know, might get a better return if they decided to eat some of that money, but they've always shown kind of a reluctance to do that. They're already paying some money to guys that they have released this year, Boxberger, Chris Owings. So, you know, I think if I was going to, you know, make a wager here, I think all three are traded, but I think that the return is going to be pretty underwhelming overall.
Pretty minimal. We're speaking with Craig Brown, Baseball Prospectus and Royals Review. And, of course, the drumbeat has been coming from Royals fans, and I'll just be honest, me too. If you're looking at guys that you might want to see getting time here in the second half, Brett Phillips' name is just, I guess, the hottest name on the chart right now. If you're, you know, if he were a hit single, he'd be number one in the Hot 100 right now, because he has said this, and he stated publicly, I think he put it on either Twitter or Instagram, I thank the Royals coaching staff and the organization for helping me find some things to change around in my swing, and his numbers have skyrocketed. But as you note in your article, who's not raking in Omaha right now or in AAA across the league? But Brett Phillips, if he comes up, and as you note, you have to find a spot, because is Alex Gordon going to continue to play every day in left? Is Whit Merrifield going to play almost every day in right unless Jorge Soler has his day? If Billy Hamilton goes, you know, Bubba Starling, he's still there. So if Brett Phillips comes up, if he remains hot, where do you think Brett Phillips plays? How do they use him?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think he's your right fielder. But, I mean, that's where Whit Merrifield is, because Nicky Lopez is up playing at second. A way to get him in, just, you know, by rotating guys, giving them days off, and it also depends on, you know, what the Royals want to do with Alex Gordon. I don't think that he's going to get traded. But, you know, maybe you give him kind of more of an extended break, right? 2 days off here or there, instead of just the 1 day. You could, you know, have, Witt in left field, say, and Phillips in right, or you could have Phillips in left. I mean, this roster, the way that it's constructed, it just kind of has this, you know, feeling like it's a gigantic jigsaw puzzle, but there's so many different ways that you can piece it together. Maybe this is the cop out answer. There's a way to do it, to get them in there every day. It will take a lot of creativity, from Ned Yost and his staff to, you know, craft the different lineups. And I mean, you know, people, you know, kind of snark at that and say, you know, Ned Yost and creativity, whatever. But I mean, he has shown the ability to kind of move guys around to keep them fresh and, you know, moving them in and out of the lineup. So, you know, I think that, you know, he can do that. And again, it's, you know, temporary for the last, you know, month and a half of the season. But, you know, I'm surprised that he's not up now. So I don't really know what their plan is with Phillips, if they're going to wait until September, when the rosters expand, or if they're going to, or if they would give him the bump now. I don't know what else he can do to, you know, stake a claim to a major league spot because, I mean, he is.
And Dayton Moore doesn't play the service time. Dayton Moore has not been known to play the service time game, right?
Right. No. I mean, he never did it with like the big prospects like Hosmer, Moustakas, Danny Duffy, way back when. And, the concern now is that, Phillips has close to a full year of major league service time. So you bring him up now, he would hit that full year. So that would edge him closer to free agency. If you wait until September, you could buy an extra year of service time for him. Expecting that he would be a regular from here on out. He's a good player. He's not the kind of guy that you would adjust your timetable around to try to keep him in the fold for an extra year for free agency. If the Royals' philosophy has always been if he deserves to be in the big leagues, they'll get him to the big league somehow. So I got to think that they're just trying to kind of figure out the best way to get him here, where he gets the regular at-bats that he would need.
A couple of final things for you, Craig. I like your writing, and I like things that make me laugh. So this five starters in the rotation and trying to get innings out of the guys, and you're sort of knowing you can generally count on your five starters, especially when your bullpen options looks what's out on the seafood buffet at the Bellagio. Refrigeration has been down for several hours. Craig, I laughed out loud when I read that. That's hilarious.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, of course, that's a nod to one of the Royals' all-time greats, there. So.
Believe me, I know what you're talking about, and because I may have had an association with the company that was involved with that, I'm not going to talk about it, but we all know what you're talking about, right?
but the bullpen is, I was looking at the innings that the starters had thrown, and I was really kind of surprised that the Royals, I think, were in the top third of the league, American League, with the amount of innings that their starters have thrown. And then I thought, that makes sense because, we know how Ned gets when the bullpen is, untrustworthy, put it that way. He doesn't want to go there and he wants to, hold off as long as he possibly can. And so it kind of makes sense that the starters have thrown a lot of innings this year. And it takes you back to the Bailey trade. I mean, he gave the Royals some innings that were, surprisingly of quality. I don't think that the Royals expected that from him. But, with Keller, Junis, Duffy, and Bailey, that was, I don't want to say it was a solid four in the rotation because, I look at the record, the results are what they are. But, when you can throw those guys out there and not have to worry about coming up with starters, there is a comfort to that for a manager. And that's why Montgomery's probably in here now. They're hoping that he can slot in. But, the bullpen, when the bullpen is so, you touched on it when we were talking about Diekman. I mean, he's been good. He's been really bad. And you just never know, when he walks out of the bullpen, steps on the mound, he's going to strike out the side or he's going to walk a couple guys and give up some hits and allow some runs. And it's like an either or thing. You never know what you're going to get here.
Craig, hey, I appreciate you joining us on this steamy, hot Saturday morning talking a little Royals baseball in the second half. It's certainly going to be I'm going to have fun watching it. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with the roster, and we'll see how it goes. And most importantly, I appreciate you being a good sport. Knowing that we were trying to work on Ice Cube, but then you joked that you were pinch hitting. I appreciate you being a good sport about it. Thank you very much.
Hey, no problem. I hope you guys can track him down later on.
We'll see. I don't know where his private jet's landing if he has one, so maybe we'll send somebody down there. Hey, Craig, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Anytime.
All right, Craig Brown covers the Royals for Baseball Prospectus and Royals Review, and like I said, love his writing. It's he can throw in a little humor, even though when you're not having the best season. All right, we went way long there, so we'll adjust the schedule and we'll continue to wait on Mr. Ice Cube, Mr. Cube. What's up, Cube? Jed Marshall, you are. I'm just having fun with it because you just don't know. That's how it works sometimes. You are listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Back for the final minute here of hour number one, Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. Just got a text from the boss, Chad Boger, CEO, Lord of all creatures, big and small at Union Broadcasting. He's working on a Saturday. He doesn't have to work, but he is. He's trying to get his Ice Cube. Might happen around 10:30. We'll see. We're rolling the dice. Trying to make it happen. We're trying to make it happen. Chad is trying to make this happen for us and for you and for all the listeners and all the folks. Coming up next, Chris Bolig is going to talk with Brian Sciarretta from American Soccer Now, talk Sporting KC, talk the U.S. national team, talk Major League Soccer, Sporting at home tonight at 7:30 at Children's Mercy Park. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.